Glad the children come join me this morning.
It's fighting to get to you, Johnny.
Last time they were scared.
Awesome.
Excuse me, Zach.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
How is everybody today? Good. All right. How many of you guys play any kind of sport?
I play football.
You play football? What else? What do you play? Baseball. Baseball. Dahlia?
Soccer.
Basketball. Zachy? You play soccer and basketball? Wow. So you guys are all pretty good at your sports, right? And do you guys have to wear special equipment to do better in your sports and to help you out? Sure you do. I played sports, so I have some of the stuff that I wear. So you soccer players know what these are.
Spikes.
Right? My spikes, my cleats, and what are these? What are they, Talia? They are gummy shin guards.
Gummy shin guards.
Yeah. So I have these. My cleats. Ooh, don't throw them at anybody. My cleats help to give me some extra grip when I'm running around, and so I don't slip and fall. And my shin guards protect my shins when the other mean players try to kick me.
Huh. You would never do that.
All right. And I did one other sport. Does anybody know what these are for? What sport these are for? What do you think, Blake? No, Joshy?
Ice.
Nope, not for ice. What do you think, Talia?
Tennis?
Nope, not tennis. Blake? No, these are for running track, running races. And so these spikes help dig into the track and give me a little extra speed, although I'm not sure they worked right because I usually lost a lot of my races. But anyway, so in the scripture that Pastor Sonny read this morning, we learned about the equipment that we have to be strong in our faith and to go up against the powers of evil that we have in this world, like Satan and all the other powers of evil. So Pastor Sonny read about these different things that God gives us, which we call the armor of God. Gives us the belt of truth, because the Bible tells us that Satan is the father of lies, but we can never win if we hold on to the truth that Christ is Lord. We have the breastplate of righteousness, which protects our chest. A breastplate protects your chest, because Satan can never harm us when we choose to do what God says is right. We have feet fitted with the gospel of peace. So just like my cleats, which help keep my feet steady, peace helps to keep us under control and calm when going up against the powers of evil in this world. A shield of faith, so that we always hold to the faith that we have and Satan can't plant seeds of doubt in our mind. The helmet of salvation, knowing that Jesus came and saved us all. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible and the Word of God, which we hold to and can use to work against our enemies. So we all need these things to stay strong with God and be good Christians in this world and to stay close to Him. So can you guys remember to hold on to those things? To put on your armor of God every day when we go out into the world? I guess you can. I see head shaking, don't hear much.
We'll pray.
All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for each one of these children here, and I pray that you keep them surrounded with your armor, Lord, and that you keep them strong in their faith and protect them as they go into this world, which can just tear us apart and spit us out, Lord, each and every day. I pray that you be with them, keep them strong and steady, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, and there's goodies there that Brett has for you guys, and you can go back to your seats.
For some reason at our house, I insist on watching the news. I don't know, I guess it feels good when I turn it off. I don't know why I do it, but I just like to know what's going on. I remember that everything that I see, of course, or read in the paper for that matter, has been sifted through somebody else's filter, so I pay attention, but I just don't believe everything that I see or read at face value. But night after night, day after day, I watch the news. And it just seems more and more, of course, we are bombarded by reports of terrorism, both domestic and worldwide. The thing about terrorism, though, it seems that for some reason we are really not told the worst of it. Small transgression by some football player somewhere, you know, it's blown way out of proportion. We hear about it for weeks, but terrible atrocities that are perpetrated by terrorists are downplayed. Go figure. That's the world in which we live. It's just crazy. But the bottom line is this. Since the advent of evil people who are devoted to killing as many innocent people as they can, things in our country have just not been the same. Oh, we move on, you know, and we hear about some terrible things, but then we have another cup of coffee. After all, you can't stop living, right? But honestly, you know, life is different today in a world filled with terrorists at worst and crazy people at the best. We live with the knowledge that all of us are vulnerable. We know that the threat of terror is not half a world away anymore. Even here at Christ Church, we have two men, Leon Kern and Mike Harmlin, who are looking for ways to keep us safe during worship. And if you want to join that committee, please let us know. We are all very aware these days that things change, and a lot of times they just don't change for the better. What's the stock market going to do, you may ask, next week? What kind of future do people who are looking for jobs have in this country, you might ask? If we had been in denial before, we can't ignore it anymore. Evil is real, and evil exists. Can the person sitting next to us on an airplane even be trusted? I was here alone last week, and I'm here alone a lot. Strange man, happens a lot, came into the church. Well, I actually walked outside to talk to him. That was new. He had a bundle in his hands. He asked me for some water. I was waiting for him to ask me for money. You know, that's usually where that's going, but he didn't. He just wanted water. I told him he could have some water, but that he had to leave his bundle outside. That was new. I stayed outside while he came in to get water. That was new. I left the door open so that I could watch what he was doing. That was new. Things are different now. We are all on alert. The world is a different place. So the question is for us as blood-bought, Bible-believing Christians, how can we live victoriously today in a terror-stricken world? Now, nothing is a surprise to God. He provided for a time such as this. So God, in his infinite mercy, gave us the wisdom of a prisoner of war by the name of Paul. In the last chapter of Ephesians, this old soldier of the cross, he is declaring war on evil. And he gives us marching orders. And he commands all Christians to get dressed for battle. We live in a world, believe it or not, where most churches do not sing "Onward, Christian Soldiers" anymore. The imagery is just way too violent. They don't sing "Battle Hymn of the Republic" anymore. The imagery is just too icky. And to be perfectly honest, I would much rather preach to you a sermon that invites you all to an awesome party than to talk to you this morning about preparing for battle. But like I said, things are different now. So after we have done it all, we still have to find a way to stand and to carry on. So listen to the instructions of this old prisoner. He wants to make sure that we understand that we all have enemies. In verse 12, he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world." All of us have flesh and blood problems. We have bosses to please. We have people to manage. We have families to take care of. We have burdens to bear, sorrows to share. They call that life. Every day, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and we, one way or another, we just learn to get along with it. We learn how to go with the flow, because after all, what's our alternative? You know, one Halloween, a guy dressed up as a devil for a masquerade ball, complete with red suit, horns, pitchfork. Unfortunately, he accidentally went into the church next to the fire hall, and there was a prayer meeting going on. And people saw him and were all creeped out, and they all started running except one elderly lady. Well, of course, this young man thought this was just a hoot. So he went up to her and he said, "Aren't you afraid of me?" And she said, "Why should I be? I've been living with your brother for 50 years. You know, we know what it is to fight against flesh and blood. We have all been there. But this darkness that is surrounding us now just seems to be so much more. Men flying loaded airplanes into buildings, it started before that. Suicide bombers walking into crowded marketplaces. Christians being killed today like Hitler killed the Jews in the 1940s. This is a darkness on a whole different level. Paul reminds us that evil is more insidious than any single human person. In other words, evil transcends the physical world. I talked to my confirmands at the beginning of every confirmation class, and I say, there's a world you can see, and there's a world you can't see. And the battle is going on in the world you can't see, and you need to get on board with the battle. Because if you don't think it's a fight, you've already lost. If you kill Osama bin Laden, evil is not eliminated. We've seen that. You could put an end to ISIS today, and evil would not be eliminated. We do not live on a playground. We live on a battlefield. We are soldiers in a cosmic war against good and evil. And I know there's a lot of us that don't want to hear about it. But if you're in denial, you have lost. Our physical enemies are infinitesimal compared to the spiritual forces that we face. And sometimes they are packaged so beautifully. That's how they trick people. You know, if the enemy was walking around in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork, we'd be onto him. Wouldn't fool anybody. But that's not how the enemy comes. A journalist was reporting on one of the many atrocities that we see that are so prevalent in our world today. And I love this quote. Listen to this guy. He says, "From what universe beyond the one that most of us inhabit does this kind of evil arise?" Did you hear that? From what universe beyond the one that most of us inhabit does this kind of evil rise? Now, I'm not sure if that guy knew it or not, but he was asking a theological question. Because we have seen the enemy, and the enemy is awful. So the question is, what shall we do? How do we go on? How do we live victoriously in this new reality that we now find ourselves in? Paul gives us the formula. Here he is, he's a prisoner in a Roman jail, actually home, but he is physically attached to a Roman soldier. Day in and out, he is forced to look at this Roman soldier. Day in and day out, he is attached to him. And it comes to him, oh my gosh, this is the Christian life. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. The Holy Spirit, you see, gave him a vision of what it was like to live in a hostile, hard world as a Christian. The Holy Spirit had given him a key to the key, he gave him a key to living victoriously on the battlefield. Now, I am not up to date on most things. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God. And there are some things that have been well, that have served me well to remember. And that is that faith, hope, and love are very good things. And the greatest of these is love. And since that list is shorter than the one Paul gave us right here, I'm going to use that list for the armor, right? Put on faith, Paul says. According to George Barna, news for the Christian church in this country is not good. Currently, the number of people who attend church once a month or more, now this is counting people who show up once a month, okay? 18% of the population. That's 1/8. 18%. I understand statistics don't always tell the story, because there was a pastor, he wrote about a call he had received a few years after the 9/11 tragedy, and he said, "My ties to September 11th are very real." This is a couple years after the attack. "My employer was located in the World Trade Center. I lost 300 colleagues. More than 35 were my personal friends. On the one-year anniversary of September 11th, I walked into Brentwood United Methodist Church for the very first time in my life. I needed a place to pray. And that day, I started to rebuild my faith in God. After many hours of thought, prayer, memories, and resolutions, I have come to the awareness that we have a role in this world that goes far beyond us simply taking care of ourselves. And I thank God for leading me to a church and to a church home. And I thank you and I thank this congregation for opening their arms to me and for giving me a home for my new faith." Put on the armor of faith. Second, put on hope. Do you know what? So many times in the ministry, I hear these stories of extended trials and extended pain, and so frequently the account ends up with, "Well, I guess the only thing that I have left is to trust God." Is that the nature of your hope? Some kind of a last-ditch effort when everything else has failed and everything else has gone well? "At least I have my hope in God." Excuse me? That's the first thing. Hope is something so much more than that. Hope is to the soul what oxygen is to the body. Absolutely essential for our survival. People of hope, those who believe in God's tomorrow, we can live better today. Those who expect joy to come out of sadness. Those who believe strength can come from weakness. Those who absolutely know that they know that they know that new life will rise out of the ashes, they're the people that realize that God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Martin Luther put it this way in the words that we sing in his hymn every year on the last Sunday in October, so it's coming up, buckle up. "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." If I would sing this next verse, you would know what the word is. Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of hope. And the greatest of these is love. In these times of such evil, of such atrocities, you know, if I would have stood here on the Sunday after the Boston Marathon bombings, and if I would have preached a whole sermon on how what we really needed to do would be to love and forgive the Tsarnaev brothers, half of you guys would have stood up and walked out. Because you see, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. I understand that those who are very quick to love are quite frequently those who are quickest to abandon. And I understand that quick forgivers are not usually true forgivers. I understand that it takes time and space, but there does come a time in each one of our lives that sooner or later we must decide. Are we going to get better or are we going to get bitter? Are we going to get even or are we going to get moving on? Are we going to live by hate or are we going to let love fill our lives? Day by day, person by person, individual by individual, we have to decide what we are going to do with what is. And when we realize that our battle is not against flesh and blood, and that when evil comes against us, we must look beyond the physical person. When we realize that, it frees us up to forgive. Loving people are healthier people. That's just medicine. Happier people. Loving people are happier people. More helpful people than those who allow themselves to sink into deep pits of rage and revenge and hate. I am not up to date on most things, but I know Jesus, and I talk to God. And there are some things that have served me well to remember. Like there are some things in life that we need to put on and wear like a Roman soldier would wear his uniform. And they are faith, they are hope, and they are love. And then Paul says something else. Having armed ourselves in the Holy Spirit, we stay focused on prayer. Verse 18, pray always on all occasions in all situations. Pray. Here's the deal. Prayer does not save all of our loved ones. Prayer does not cure all of our cancers. Prayer does not even fix all of our kids. And it does not restore all that we have lost. But prayer does put us in the presence of God. So let me just ask you a sobering question. When you see the news, when you read the horrible tragedies, the unspeakable evil, where is it that you have to go in those moments of horror? Where else but to the Lord? When you see or experience great pain, where is it that you have to go? Where else but to the Lord? Pray on all occasions, Paul says. Pray. Pray on full alert, he says, and listen. Now, with this in mind, to be alert, we pray also for all the saints, believers everywhere who are under terrible trials. You know, I don't know much about the military, even being, you know, my dad being in the Air Force. I don't know a lot about that. But I know what it means for the military to be on full alert. And I know that when the military is on full alert, that things start happening. Like things start happening in the military. Like officers start planning and planes start flying and ships start sailing and soldiers start moving and reserves start getting put on active duty. I know that that's what happens. In a matter of minutes, when the military goes on full alert, all that would defend us from an enemy is brought into attention and is ready for action. So how do we live on a battlefield? Well, this isn't politically correct, but we're ready for battle. We are on full alert. We recognize that the enemy sometimes comes clothed in light and rainbows and flowers. But there is an old hymn that is never sung anymore because the imagery is way too violent. But, and it is, I mean, it's a drudge to sing, but the words are so powerful, which is what the old hymns of the faith did. They taught us about the faith. Praise choruses are for us to pray, but the old hymns of the faith taught us theology. Listen to this. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Stand strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. From strength to strength, go on. Wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down. You will win the well-fought day. Now, it's pretty obvious why we don't sing that hymn anymore. It's because the imagery is too yucky. We are in a battle, and there would be those that would try to convince us that we are not. Because when you don't know you're in the battle, you have already lost. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we recognize